Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
For your goodness and for your mercy, we thank you because we are in the light and not in the dark. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let your name be glorified in the message of the Lord and bless our hearts. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So let me take a few minutes to talk about the light of the glory of the Lord in our lives. Amen. Now, I'm going to read this scripture that I started to chant a little bit from Isaiah chapter 60. It says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Can I get someone to say amen to that? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, that's like unbelievers and so forth, shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promise. And I'm going to be speaking about the light of the glory of God in our lives for just a few minutes. And during the week, I was responding to this last time when I went to Nigeria, my secondary school classmates, they invited me to join their WhatsApp group. So I got involved. And I found that, wow, it's very interesting and very exciting. There's a lot of people, and I was able to connect with a lot of them. It also gave me an opportunity and a forum to share some things, so I was doing that. So during the week, somebody posted a question about some rumors that they have heard and read, which many people have read, where NASA said this and NASA said that about darkness that's going to cover the world, you know, sometime. And there have been dates that are floating around. The latest dates, you know, that they've talked about. Sometime in November, they said the whole world, you know, will be dark and so forth because of some various things, conjunction and gases and various things. I don't want to go into all of that. But you may have read some of those articles or you may have heard about it. But, you know, when that came up, you know, I had an opportunity to respond to that. And it just inspired me to share this short exhortation with us. And my response to that was, somebody posted a question. I said, well, what do you think of that? And I said, well, you know, so I quoted this scripture. And I said, well, I don't know if it's going to happen in November or whenever, you know, but someday it is going to happen. And when it does, because see, you can look at this scripture literally, but you can also look at it figuratively. But, you know, many scriptures are dual in nature. You know, that's the nature. I mean, God's word actually is eternal. That means God may be saying something that is specific to Israel, but it can also apply in other situations because that's God's word. It is eternal. You know, so that's how it is. There are many scriptures. You know, for instance, you know, in the book of Hosea, chapter 11. Let me just point out some of these dual prophecies and so forth. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, he says in verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Well, we know that literally happened. There's no question about that. Everybody that's sitting in this congregation today knows the story of how God called Israel out of Egypt. Well, so we know that. So that literally happened. But it also happened when Jesus was born. You have to read the first couple of chapters in Matthew and understand it. And when Herod, you know, wanted to kill the children, you know, because of, you know, the wise guys who came and said, you know, we've seen the star of the, you know, Messiah to be born and all of that. And he inquired what time he should be born. And, you know, when they didn't go back to tell him, He sent out an edict to kill everybody. And God appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. You know, and stay there until I bring you word again. Because, you know, they seek the young child's life to destroy it. You know, and when he obeyed and went there, the Bible says that after a while, after the death of Herod and so forth, the angel of the Lord appeared to him again and said, well, it is safe for you to go back now, for they that sought the young life's child are now dead. And the scripture put a commentary there and said, well, all of this was done to fulfill that which was written by the prophet that said, out of Egypt have I called my son. And I'm like, I thought that was already fulfilled. Well, yes, because God's word can go many different ways. God can have a literal fulfillment and yet another literal fulfillment. And he can also even have a spiritual fulfillment of the same prophecy many times over. And there are some people that argue when they read some things in the Bible and say, well, you know, this thing is for Israel and so forth. I say, well, you know, if you understood what Israel was, you know that it's not all who are, you know, born of the flesh that are called Israel, but those who walk by faith in the Lord. Amen. So, the real Israel of God, you know, many of the prophecies that are in the Bible concerning Israel can also apply to our lives. And this particular one, this is one that I am believing God for. Hallelujah. And I said in the blog when I wrote, and I said, well, you know, when something like that actually does happen, it will be a significant sign to the true elect. I don't care about darkness upon the world and so forth, you know. I mean, not that I don't care, but what's more significant is that, you know, listen to what the Bible says here. And let me read it to us again. The more significant part of it is not so much that the whole world will be dark for days, you know, as they say. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Or maybe it won't be this time that they are saying. Maybe it will be some other. But when it does happen, you know, it's going to be very significant. And events like this, you know, conjunction of comets and planets or structures in the heavens that create impact upon the earth and so forth, you know, global events like that do not happen by chance. Praise the Lord. God appoints the seasons and the times and so forth like that. And if something significant like that were to happen, it wouldn't be by chance. It would be because God appointed it and constituted it to appear at the exact time. It would be the Lord. And when it does happen, here's something that you should think about. He says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And you can take that literally, because that's exactly what he said. And gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Now that tells me that, you know, there is a parallel event or two parallel things that will be happening. It tells me that, you know, during the time of darkness, during the time of severe problems in the world and so forth, during the time of crisis, there's also going to be a time when light will be shining. Praise the Lord. Just like there was darkness all over the face of Egypt, but in the land of Goshen, there was light. Hallelujah. So if this event happens, when there will be darkness all over the world, well, Jesus one time he said, there are, you know, 12 hours in a day and so forth like that. And he said, look, if you walk in the day, you will not stumble because you can see the light of the day. See, any man that walks in the day, they can see the light of the day. They don't stumble. There's no problem with that. He said, but when somebody walks in the night, they stumble. Not because they don't see the light, but he said because the light is not in them. Now, that means If the light is in you, even if you are quote unquote walking in darkness, you will never really walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, he that followeth after me shall not what? Shall not walk in darkness, but shall what? Have the light of life. The light of life, if you have it and it's in you, you will never be in darkness. Even though there is darkness all around, what it truly means is that, look, there's darkness everywhere. All over the face of the earth, there may be darkness. But for those that have light, they will not be in darkness. The children of Israel that were over there in Goshen, they were not in darkness. The whole of Egypt was in darkness. In fact, people were scared. You know, when real darkness, when there is complete absence of light, that's a horrible situation. Most of the time that we say it's dark, there's still some light. It's not really black. It's not a black hole, you know. But when people experience a black hole, they will be so scared and so frightened. And that's what's going to happen when people are finally sent away from the presence of the Lord. See, because over there, you know, when their God's presence is not there at all, that's a black hole. And nobody ever wants to go there. We're talking of, on the other side, people who do not give their lives to the Lord. Because, you know, if there is no light and it's completely dark, you know, it's a horrible, horrible situation. Jesus one time said, look, the eye is the light of the body. Hallelujah. So let your eye be single so that you can see clearly and the light can be light in your body. Now, everybody should also know this, that the way you get rid of darkness is to turn on the light. Praise the Lord. When you come into a room in the night, and I've said this many times before, and I like to give this illustration because it's straight to the point, right on the money. When you come into a room in the night and it is dark, the first thing that you do is you reach for the light switch. And generally, those who design, if they have any sense in their head, they put the light switch close to the door. So you don't have to grope all around the room. They always put the light switch right there, just like that, right there by the door. When you come in, the light switch is right there. You can just flip it on. So you get rid of the darkness by turning on the light. Hallelujah. Now that means when gross darkness is upon the world, when the darkness covers the people and gross darkness everywhere, then the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, will come upon the people of God. Now, we also know that the light actually shines brighter the darker it gets. Now, if you put on a flashlight in this room right now because of all this fluorescent lighting we have, that flashlight wouldn't look too long, too bright. But when you take out all the light and it's very dark in the night, and there is no light at all, and you turn on a small flashlight, then all of a sudden it looks very bright. How many of you are still with me? That's right. So the light shines brightest when it is darkest. Now, so during the time of this blackness, there is going to be an outpouring of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And as far as I'm concerned, it is a significant sign. And I told the people, fortunately, there were some believers there that rejoiced. Some others didn't understand, but they respected me because they knew what I stood for. You know, and I said, well, you know, it's going to be a significant sign. And when it does happen, there is something that God is fixing to do. Hallelujah. You know, and look, what if some did not believe? It doesn't matter. The same thing when Christ was going to be born, most of the world didn't believe. Most of the world didn't know that it even happened. But did that change anything? No, it happened right on schedule. Hallelujah. And everything that God has ordained, especially significant events that fall in line with his eternal purpose, it will happen at God's time. And whether the people of the world know that it's going to happen or not, it makes no difference. Whether even some Christians know that it's happening or not, it makes no difference. It will happen just like God said it will. Praise the Lord. So when God talks about the glory of God, hallelujah. And if you don't believe it, well, of course, you may not experience it. But what this scripture should be doing is challenging us to believe God for greater things. Amen. I say, wow, you know, I want that glory of God. You know, one time, in the book of Exodus 19, the glory of God came down, and the people didn't want any part of it. They said, oh, no, we don't want to see the glory of God. We don't want to do any of that. We don't even want to hear his voice. You go hear it, and you come tell us. See, that's like people today. People don't want to seek the Lord for themselves. They want somebody else, some pastor and some prophet and some this and that to do it and then come tell you. That's like second or hearsay or whatever. I don't know. But God wanted one-on-one with the people. And because they wouldn't hear it, so Moses became a prophet. God had no intention of making him a prophet. But he wanted every one of them to be a generation and a kingdom of priests. That's what he said. But they said, well, we don't want any part of God. You know, I mean, they wouldn't have any part of God. And I, you know, every time I read that, I'm like, my goodness. You know, I would die to see the glory of God. Praise the Lord. If you say the glory of God is coming, I want that glory of God. I want in that chariot. Hallelujah. That chariot of fire, I want inside of it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, I don't, you know, I don't know why people would say, I don't want to hear the voice of God. I don't want the glory of God. I don't want his presence. I just want to do this over here. Well, then God said, you are a bunch of stiff-necked people. You know, and God, you know, rejected them. But, see, God is looking for the people, you know, that want his glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me, folks? The glory of God is what it is all about, folks. In fact, the Bible says that, you know, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And the same God, when this gross darkness covers the people, we command another kind of light to shine again. It is called the light of the glory of God. And it will come on a select group of people. People that are waiting for, so to speak, you know, in one place they say consolation of Israel. Well, but people are waiting for the word of the Lord. They are waiting and they are hungry. And God will appear. And you know, the Bible says even the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, unto them that look for him. Amen. Amen. Shall he appear the second time? No, he's not going to appear to people who are not looking. See, it doesn't happen. Everybody's going to think, oh, the Lord. No, it's not going to happen. Unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time in his glory. Hallelujah. And we're not talking about the one that, you know, we're not talking about the one that is as the lightning is from the east to the west. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an appearing. That he will appear to the sons of the kingdom. And he will purify them as the silver and gold is purified. We're talking about the glory of God that is coming when there is gross darkness upon the people. We're talking about, even now, some of it is happening. When the Bible says that when men are cast down, that you will say there is a lifting up. This is the difference. This is how God makes a difference between the people of God and the other side. And the anointing of God in our lives, the light of the glory of God is what makes the difference. As a matter of fact, anything that does not have the anointing of God or the light of the glory of God on it has no value before the Lord. Has no value. Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 16. You can read from verses 15 and 16. He said, look, you are those that justify yourself among men. And then he begin to tell them, Luke 16 and 16. He said, look, those things which are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination unto God. You know, I don't know. Maybe I quoted the wrong verse. Okay, yeah, Luke 16 and 15. Okay, thank you. Those things which are highly exalted among men, that abomination to God. Accolades, titles, and all of these things that people count as anything, they are an abomination in the sight of God. The thing that is of value before the Lord is the light of the glory of God. When the glory of God falls upon an individual, then that person is set apart. Hallelujah. And some people had the glory of God in their lives, and they were set apart, you know, but because of iniquity abounding in the world, see, the glory of God began to seep out from their lives, and they began to just follow the things of the world and so forth, and pretty soon, they look just the same like the world. You cannot tell too much now the difference between the church and the world. The world has become so churchy, and the church has become so worldly, and you can't tell the difference. But there is a real elect. Hallelujah. There is a real people of God. Well, you know, in the book of Isaiah 6, he said, a small one shall become a nation. You know, a little one, a great people. You know, it's not, one my brother was saying today, he said, look, it's not about numbers and so forth. Well, you know, what God is doing is quality is what he is doing. You know, he may have numbers, and God will have numbers at the end. Trust me, folks, be not deceived to think that the devil will never have more numbers than God. Hallelujah. He will never do it, and he cannot do it. Even when he got the angels, he could only get a third of them. You can never outdo God. Praise the Lord. You know, so people think that the devil is this. No, the devil is nothing. Hallelujah. But there are degrees inside of God's kingdom. There are those that came out of great tribulation. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 7. They are like the sands of the sea as far as the eye could see. They are more than even the number of the people of the devil. They are numberless. You know, and they made their robes to be white through the blood of the Lamb. That's right. Even though they came out of great tribulation. So I want to tell the devil, we've got some news, bro. God's got more people. Always. And every time that you get one soul saved by showing them the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that is in your life, read as an epistle. Well, every time you do that, you are like putting another nail in the devil's coffin. Hallelujah. Because the devil doesn't like people to be saved. But what? God's going to have people. And God's going to pull them out. Hallelujah. And you know, there are some that we have to save, but you know, as by fire. Some others will make a difference, and all of these things we do. But the people of God, they are in degrees. But there is a group of people that will have this glory of God, you know, because everything that God said in his word will be fulfilled. It may not be fulfilled on the whole world, but it will be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. When the devil, you know, when the Bible said that, well, you know, upon, you know, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and so forth and so forth, and Joel prophesied all these things and all that. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and said, this is that which was written by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, I pour out my spirit, you know, upon all flesh and so forth. And then, you know, he said all these things. But it wasn't all flesh that received it on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. It was a small group of people, about 120 or so, that received that Holy Ghost outpouring the first time. Although, since then, it began to spread. You see, through their preaching and their word, the Holy Ghost, you know, began to come, you know, to many more and so forth like that. You know, but what I'm saying is that, look, what God said he will do, he will do. Praise the Lord. Now, the thing though is this. Will you be a part of what God is doing? See? That's the thing. Never mind whether God's going to do it. He is going to do it. So we know that the world will receive a covering of darkness. And gross darkness will be upon the people. Anybody ever read that article that I was talking about? That they said NASA said this and that. I read it, you know, but I didn't make too much of it until, you know, somebody posted a question about it. You know, I said, well, because people say all kinds of things. Sometimes they say it's July. Sometimes they say it's November. Sometimes they say it's this and that. You know, it doesn't mean anything much to me. One thing I do know, that if it does happen or when it does happen, I'll know that it's a significant sign. You know, that's all I know. Praise the Lord. Because as you know, say when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, will bring a standard against him. You know, and the standard, the greatest standard against the gross darkness is the light of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And it comes in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, you cannot experience this glory of God outside of Jesus Christ, folks. There's no way you can do it. You know, you can't experience it through some religion or through some ism or whatever. No. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You cannot do it. Praise the Lord. You know, there's just no way to do it. The only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those of us who have experienced the saving knowledge of his grace, it is unto us that such signs like this mean something. Because we are looking, you know, the Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verses 13 through about 15, it says, for the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts and all of these things in the world, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for, hallelujah, everybody say looking for that glorious appearing, oh my, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking. You must be looking, folks. If you are not looking and expecting the glory of God, you will get nothing. You know, there's a song that says, pass me not by, oh mighty Savior, or whatever. I don't know how we used to sing in those days. You know, but it's going to pass a lot of people by, folks, unfortunately. But our job when we stand in the word of the Lord is to stand on the wall like a watchman. You know, and the Bible says, if I tell the watchman to blow, and he blows a horn that is muddled up, and nobody can tell what he's saying, then, well, he didn't warn anybody. You know, so, you know, when a trumpet blows, it must be clear what that trumpet is saying so that the people know how to prepare. Hallelujah. So we are telling you that God is fixing to release the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, since Jesus, you know, even before Jesus, they have been talking about it, but, you know, let's just discount all that. Since Jesus, prayers have been going forth. Jesus himself being the author. See, that's why I say discount all the others. You know, Jesus, the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen? That's right. So, discount all the others, but from Jesus. Jesus himself said, Father, I have prayed for them. Hallelujah. In John chapter 17. I have prayed for them. Turn with me to John 17 real quick. And let me just read to you here from like verses 21 and 22. And see what Jesus has to say. He said, look, I'm praying for all of these people, starting from about verse 20. But not just for these 12 or these others that are around me, but for even all those that will hear about me through them later on. That they all may be one as we are on. And that thou may believe that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And listen to verse 22. He said, and the glory, hallelujah, the glory. See, this is what it's all about, folks. Jesus was looking forward for that glory. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Hallelujah. Look, folks, this is the prayer that Jesus already prayed. You know, it didn't quite happen then, but those prayers are in golden vials. And those prayers will be released. And I'm standing to tell you that the hour has come that God is releasing those prayers. That the glory that God himself through Jesus Christ said is coming. Amen. That it is now time to come. And even the world are talking about it in a way, because they are saying gross darkness will cover the world. They are not talking about the glory, but they are saying, well, gross darkness is coming. I say, well,
If gross darkness is coming, then also is coming the light of the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Because that's exactly what the Bible says. When gross darkness covers the people, then the glory of the Lord will arise upon thee. And that's the time you must arise and shine. That's the time that the psalmist said, forsake me not until I have shown this generation thy power, thy glory to everyone that is to come. You must have that glory in order to be able to show it. You cannot give what you don't have, folks. You know, until I have demonstrated your glory to these people and thy power to everyone that is to come. That must be our desire. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Remember that the Lord, you know, one time he said, I am the Lord. Hallelujah. I am the Lord, he said. He said, and my glory I will not share with anyone. You know, neither give my praise to graven images. I'm reading from Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. He said that point blank. My glory will I not give to another. Neither will I give my praise to graven. He said that point blank. But that was then. And Jesus came to bridge the gap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. Jesus now says, well, you know, if you say, you know, and, you know, the message may be a little too deep for some, but, you know, you'll have to understand that Jesus did not steal the glory of God. Amen. Because the Bible says he counted it not robbery to be equal with God. Hallelujah. Because he had that glory from the beginning. So that glory that he had, you know, because of how he absolutely 100% pleased the Father, he now had the ability to confer the same. He said, that glory which I had with thee from the beginning, that glory which you have given me. Well, you know, even though God wouldn't give it to anybody else, well, Jesus had it because Jesus is God. Hallelujah. And he said, that glory I am now giving to them. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh my. You know, but how did he get it? And how did Jesus obtain that glory? How that God, see, has given him a great name that is above every other name. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and became, took the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Humbled himself to the death, even the death on the cross, which is like one of the worst deaths and so forth. Because cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. How did Jesus enter into that glory, folks? You know, one time in Luke 24, you have to read the chapter. I don't have time to read it. I'm just going to say it. After his resurrection, two disciples were going on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking about all the things that happened in Jerusalem that weekend and so forth. You know, and Jesus just joined himself to them. And he began to say, and he said, well, you know, just say, what's happening? What's going on? And they said, what planet are you from? You didn't hear all the things that are going on here? Just say, what things? You know, they said, well, you know, and they began to tell him about Jesus and so forth. He said, really? So they told all the things. He just pretended as if he didn't know, you know. So finally, when they got in the house, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When they got in the house, he took the bread as only he can, and he broke it. Oh, my. And when he broke that bread, he didn't even have to say nothing. He just broke that bread and gave it to them. Oh, my. Woo. And when they ate that bread, all of a sudden, my lens, did not our hearts burn within us? When this man was talking, we knew there was something about him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, but Jesus said, he told them, he said, look, O ye fools, just call them fools, and hard to understand and believe all the things that are written in the prophets. Did you not know That in order for Christ to enter into his glory,
he must suffer these things.
Folks, if you think that Christ went through suffering to get to his glory, and you think you're going to get that glory some other way, you've got another thing coming. The way to glory, folks, is through sufferings. Jesus did it, and he is the blueprint of all the sons of God. That is why persecutions must come. For all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen, folks. I'll begin to talk about persecution and get silent. But I tell you something, folks. You know, anybody, you know, that stands up for the Lord, God will stand up for you. Amen. When Stephen was about to be stoned to death, we are told prior to that that Jesus, he might have been sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But when it came time for Stephen's being stoned, Jesus stood up. The Bible says that I saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. He wasn't sitting. He was standing to give Stephen a standing ovation. Hallelujah. Because that is the highest price that anybody can pay. Is to give your life. Now, God hasn't called us, every one of us, to do that. To give your life up. But he has called you to live your life for Christ. Every single day, don't back down from any of the challenges. If you want to see and experience this glory. Let us stand to our feet here this morning. Hallelujah. If you want to experience this glory that we are talking about, you must also experience the sufferings for Jesus Christ. The light of the glory of God is coming. Blessed be the name of Jesus. It is coming in a time when there is going to be gross darkness upon the world. And it is happening now already. People are so screwed up in their minds now. Men are marrying men. Women are marrying women. The whole place is all screwed up. You know, but let me tell you something. He says, in the book of Philippians, let me read it to you. Chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you, folks, it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. But I tell you something, folks, when you are under that glory, you won't even be thinking about the suffering. Because the Bible says that Stephen, in the hour when he faced peril of his life, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he didn't even think nothing about any of the stoning and everything. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the glory of God. Oh my. And when he saw that glory of God, he saw that Christ standing up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, everybody that I know in that Bible that really loved the Lord always wanted to see the glory of God, except the stiff-necked people. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. He said, show me your glory. And the Lord didn't do it initially. He just showed him some parts. Back parts and so forth like that. But I tell you something, folks. I believe that Moses saw that glory. Because on Mount Transfiguration, the Bible said that Jesus was there. And he was transfigured in the glory of God. And Moses was there. And he saw that glory. Hallelujah. Finally saw that glory that he had been waiting for. He saw it too. Are you waiting for that glory? Are you waiting for the consolation? There was an old woman called Hannah in the Bible. She was praying and serving God with prayers and everything, waiting for the consolation of Israel. There was another old man, you know, and so forth. You know, all these people were waiting in the Bible, you know, and so forth, just waiting. And God honored their faith. And it was revealed to some of them that they would not die until they had seen the Lord Christ. Well, you know, folks, there be some, Jesus said, that are standing among you that will not die until they see the kingdom of God coming in its power. I'm talking about the light of the glory of God. There will be some that are standing in this audience today. And there will be some that will be listening to this message. That will not die until they see the glory of God. The kingdom of God coming again in his power. Folks, we are done with that powerless kingdom. This is now time for the saints of the kingdom to take the kingdom. Hallelujah. The people of the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, because the glory, the light of the glory of God will come upon them. Now we are recruiting an army for Christ. And if you want in that army, hallelujah, I want the praise team come up here and sing for me. I see an army arising. I hear an army arising. I want the praise team up here and sing that for me. And if you want in that company, it is a select company upon whom the glory of God will come. If you want in that company, when they are singing this song, hallelujah, forget about the offering. When they are singing this song, I want you to come out here. Hallelujah. I want you to shout the victory. I want you to release your faith and expect the power of God. And let's see what the Lord will do. Yes. But I want that part that says, I see an army arising. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can start with the name of Jesus and so forth. And then we go into, I see an army arising. Hallelujah. You know, I see an army arising. And I see the glory of God that is coming. Amen, folks. It may only look like a man's hand at first. But I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear and I see the light of the glory of God that is coming upon his people. The name of Jesus. I want you to stand in prayer for just a minute. I am going to read this scripture. I wasn't intending to read this, but you just bear with me for a minute. In order for us to experience the real presence and the glory of God, sometimes you have to forget about your wristwatch. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read in Isaiah chapter 25. Just stand there and listen. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thou hast made of a city an heap, a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Now listen to this. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones shall come, when the gross darkness shall cover the earth, you know, when it shall come as a storm against the wall, that shall be a shadow upon your people. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the Lord will destroy, even in this place, the face of the covering cast. There is a covering that has prevented the people. And he said it's called a veil. And the veil that is spread over all the people, the Lord will break it down. Hallelujah. And he said the veil shall be removed when it shall turn to the Lord. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The veil, the Lord will remove the covering cast. The veil that has covered the eyes of the people. The glory of the Lord will come upon the people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will swallow up death in victory. Hallelujah. He will swallow up death in victory. He will wipe away the tears from their eyes. Oh, and he will remove the rebuke of his people. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He shall take it away from all the earth. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The Lord will remove the rebuke of his people. He will remove the shame that is in the church. He will bring the glory of God again. He will remove the covering cast from the face of all the earth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed.